With all of the challenges that the current climate has created in higher education, we catch up with University Vice President Bob McCaig about how Monmouth is dealing with those issues. With President Patrick Leahy, I'm faculty member Matt Harmon. It's time yet again for Monmouth Weekly. Thanks as always for joining us. We have hit double digits in our Monmouth Weekly. Would love to be able to say that we're doing it with everyone around a table, sitting in chairs and being able to look at one another. But as the COVID-19 coronavirus pandemic continues to hopefully maybe turn a little bit of a corner and there's a little bit of a light at the end of the tunnel, we are still practicing our social distancing, or as we like to say, at least one President Patrick Leahy away from one another. I'm faculty member Matt Harmon, joined as always by University President Patrick Leahy. And our theme of vice presidents continues today. Looking forward to spending some time with Bob McCaig, the vice president for enrollment management. Gentlemen, I say a good afternoon to both of you. President Leahy, I'll give you first word today. Just checking in, seeing how things are going on campus and making sure that everything is okay up there in West Long Branch.
Yeah, it's all good here, Matt. Nice to be with you. Nice to have Bob join us for this week. Since we were together last, I had to train up your colleague, Eddie Acapinti. So I'm glad to be back here with a real professional, Matt.
Well, listen, I won't lie and say that I didn't watch that. I was actually on my way home, believe it or not, was up in Vermont to go check on a house that we own as a family, and I watched that on the way back. I think you're skirting the issue a little bit. I seem to remember, if memory is serving me correctly, that you said how happy you were to be with a professional like him instead of having to do this week in and week out with me.
I say that to all my broadcast partners. I'm joking in both situations. We're so privileged here at Monmouth to have professionals, I mean this, like you and Eddie and others doing our broadcast work.
Yeah, I thought last week it was good to have you on with the folks over in athletics. They are doing their best with all of their content and social media. They have stuff going on twice a week with some of the coaches and members of the athletic department, staff, coaches, and everybody else, trying to keep everybody hopefully ready for the fall, which is a perfect opportunity to bring in our guest today. He is the Vice President for Enrollment Management, as I just mentioned, Bob McCaig, who's been with Monmouth for a long time. Most of the vice presidents at the school have. Bob, this situation has been crazy for everyone. You know, we talked with Mary Ann Nagy, we've talked with Ray Cadotta, we've talked with Marilyn McNeil, all vice presidents. For you, I would think that this has offered an opportunity, and I use that word maybe lightly, because I'm sure it's been very stressful worrying about not necessarily how things were going to finish the spring semester, but the concern of how we're going to run the summer program. What's the situation going to be like for the fall? So as I wish you a good afternoon, and thank you so much for giving us some time, I would think you have had some sleepless nights just trying to think about how this is all going to come together for the benefit of the university.
Yeah, Matt, thanks for having me. I will never use the phrase working around the clock again lately. It has been I know this word is overused, but an unprecedented stretch for everyone in enrollment management across the country, in fact. We were, obviously within enrollment, we were worried about two pieces of enrollment. The fall enrollment, which is just huge in terms of the university's financial health, as well as summer enrollments. And one of the first things we did as the pandemic unfolded is we gave our families more time. We moved our deposit deadline back to June 1st as it became increasingly likely that we were not going to be able to do in-person programs in April. And we thought maybe this pandemic would be a 2 to 4 week thing, and we'd be able to have in-person programming in May. And then when that idea dissolved, we and frankly every other college and university in the country scrambled to move our in-person programs, which we think we do distinctively well, online. And, you know, my concern moving into that was, can we be as good online as we are in person and really cultivate those relationships in an authentic way so our families could feel a good fit with us and that these students might see them at Monmouth for the next 4 years. And we worked very hard on that. And we not only replicated those in-person programs that we would have run in April virtually, but we also layered on those programs, opportunities for families to have chats with the admissions director, with deans, with faculty, with our ambassadors, so that they could get the best feel for who we are if they had only been on campus once or twice or not at all. And we believe that's paid off. Right now, we're down in deposits heading into that deadline of June 1st, but we're down just 136 from last year. And we still have close to 300 students who have told us they're still serious about us, but they're still deciding. So these last 2 weeks leading up to a deadline, whether it's May 1st and June 1st, are always hugely important, and they're particularly important this year. And I'm choosing to be hopeful.
President Leahy, I want to get your comment on that first answer from Vice President McCaig. When you think of it, whether it's 100 or I'd even say a number as low as 10, maybe even one. I mean, Monmouth has always been a tuition-driven school. So trying to find, I'd say right now, creative ways in order for incoming and even returning students to feel like, hey, this is still the place for you, has probably been a little bit of a challenge, correct?
It has. I mean, we're going to get so desperate that even the president is going to answer questions from prospective students. You know, we are tuition dependent, but even more important than that, I mean, our very mission lies in bringing students to this campus and giving them life transforming opportunities. And we want desperately to enroll robust classes so that we can continue to live out our mission in a way that is so significant for those students and their families, and in the process serves our community well. So if you look at our numbers now, Bob just reported them. If you look at them in isolation, you would look at them and say, this is a first-rate class that we have coming in the fall. It's like our highest academically prepared class we've ever had. We're the highest, I think, Bob, underrepresented minorities that we've ever had or close to ever had. Yep. Our Pell numbers are high again, which is an important part of who we are here at Monmouth. I mean, you look at it and you'd say, this is a really, really strong class. I think we're just a little nervous that some of those might be softer than normal at this time in the cycle. But we're doing everything we can to make the Monmouth case, and I'm hopeful that will pay off for us in the fall.
Vice President McCaig, if I asked you this question, it might be a little bit of a loaded question. It would almost be like that D, all of the above. But what are you most concerned about right now as we talk in mid to late May? Is it students that are already part of the Monmouth community returning, or is it that freshman class that you're anticipating, as President Leahy just said, being one of the best academic diverse type classes, or is it all of the above? We need to make sure on some level that everybody's still going to be part of what we have going on.
D, all of the above, Matt. You know, here we're in this very strange position of, you know, if the enrollment cycle ended today, we'd be able to say we have the highest academic quality class in the university's history and the most ethnically diverse class in the university's history. Our honors programs are the second highest. Our five-year program, which allows students to get an undergraduate degree and a graduate degree in 5 years, those numbers are at record high. So it looks, when you look at the key indicators, terrific. But as President Leahy remarked, it is soft. And right now, our constituents, our incoming students and their families are looking for certainty. They want to know that fall will be open. And that's a certainty we cannot provide. You know, we can tell them we are on this. We are developing every possible scenario well thought through so that we have options come fall if there are state mandates for how we can open. But we can't give the guarantee that these students are looking for. So, you know, when Dr. Leahy gets on our call with our what we call our outstanding offer students who still have not committed but are serious about considering Monmouth, we're going to do our best to assure them that we're going to do everything possible to open in the fall. And we're developing scenario planning to that end. And we will communicate with them the minute we know. But we still do have to wait for some state direction before we can give that certainty. So that I would say is foremost on my mind. But I do worry about returning students as well. Right now, returning student registrations are pretty strong. You know, our students have registered for fall classes in high numbers. So we hope that they will indeed show up in September in high numbers. But the decision as to how we return may indeed impact that. We didn't mention earlier summer enrollments, but, you know, summer is a great story that I hope tells the tale of fall a little bit. You know, at the beginning of the pandemic, we were down more than 2,400 credits from last year in summer enrollments. And then after we made the decision to go fully online, we halved that deficit. And since having that deficit, our deficit from last year is less than 200 credits now. It's negligible. And in fact, this summer's enrollments are actually higher than two summers ago's enrollment. So that's actually a success story in the middle of the pandemic enrollment-wise.
You know, President Leahy, that was something that actually a great lead-in from Vice President McCaig I was going to throw you, because the last we spoke about summer numbers, you were extremely optimistic that Monmouth would not only get to where they've been in the past, but maybe exceed it because of, you know, changing the way that things are happening right now and being able to offer classes in an online environment that, as a university, faculty have been able to, let's say, test out during the course of this spring semester and now move it into the summer. And listening to Bob just talk right now, the summer numbers are encouraging, and hopefully that is something that will lead us right into a successful fall.
To me, it's very exciting that our summer numbers are as strong as they are. Real credit to Bob and his team for promoting those courses the way they have and helped us close that gap. But also to our faculty members, many of whom, as you know, Matt, have been teaching online in the summer for years now. And I think because we have no choice, we have a lot more faculty members who are going to be moving to that type of delivery. And I think when they do this really well, they're going to find that for certain students at certain times in their academic progression, online delivery is really a first-rate way to deliver programming. I'm not saying replace what we do on campus. I'm just saying at certain times, summer courses, graduate students, online delivery is a really important delivery mechanism. And that's being proven this summer. And it's a really exciting part of this whole, you know, crisis situation.
Vice President McCaig, if I asked you how many different scenarios and plans you have either had on your desk or people have presented to you, you've come up with yourself in terms of ways to manage this situation. Is there even a number that you could throw out? Because the world changes every day. So what you planned for last week might not be even a consideration this week. And then what you planned for this week might be not a consideration next week. And all the little variables in between, I would think at this point, it's almost one of those scenarios where everything is on the table.
Well, I'll let President Leahy give you a number on the number of scenarios. But I will tell you, Matt, from March 9th through a good bit of April, I think many of us felt like the game was changing almost every 36 hours. Fluid does not do justice to how things have evolved and changed during the pandemic. Even in the last week, if you look at the different ways in which colleges are pretending to know how they're going to open in the fall, it's all over the place. Federal guidelines for the CARES Act, for instance, changed we got updated guidance, I should say, every 3 to 4 days. It's just been incredibly challenging for professionals like myself to keep up with. I can't imagine how the public is consuming all this if they've got a student poised to enter college next year. But maybe President Leahy would like to talk about the scenario planning we're doing for the fall.
I mean, there's probably a dozen legitimate scenarios. And I'll just give you an example. It made news a few days ago that basically on the same day, Matt, Notre Dame out in Indiana decided that they were going to start their fall semester early because they wanted to start early and try to finish early. So they're going to start, I think it's like August 10th. The same day, a really fine school in New York State, Ithaca College, said, oh, on the contrary, we're going to start late, not until October 5th, so that we can give this pandemic more time to sort of flatten the curve, if you will. I mean, it's all over the place. I mean, those are just two private institutions that have taken it upon themselves based on the guidelines in their respective states to just make a judgment call on what they think is best. And, you know, you have some institutions out west that have decided we're going to go mostly online instruction in the fall. Other institutions here on the East Coast saying, you know what, we're coming back to campus. We're going to require personal protective equipment, but we're not going to do social distancing because we don't have the physical capacity to teach the number of courses that we need to teach in that physical distancing, you know, social distancing manner. It's all over the place. And what we've said all along, to Bob's point, is we have to get comfortable with the uncertainty for now because we don't want to make decisions before the public health officials in the state provide guidelines for us. And the reason we don't is we don't want to be way outside on either end of the spectrum, way outside of those guidelines, lest it put us in a competitive disadvantage.
Vice President McCaig, I mean, this just has to be, I'll say lightly, another challenge for you as the Vice President for Enrollment Management. I mean, when you look at it, the story and the challenges for especially private institutions over the course of the last several years have been there financially for students and family figuring out a way to afford 4 years on average, 4 to 5 years of that extra education past high school. So this has almost created, in a way, a brand new test case for people like yourself and those that work on your staff of thinking of ways to make sure that people still see the value in higher education at a mid-sized private institution, a school like Monmouth.
I think it's really important to consider what happened pre-pandemic, as you suggest, Matt. You know, in September, probably a few months earlier, this started to the tremors started. But in September, an article called The Great Enrollment Crash was picked up by Chronicle of Higher Ed and then went beyond Chronicle of Higher Ed to New York Times, Washington Post, Wall Street Journal. And really, the issue of the demographic slide went beyond the higher ed media into mainstream media. And the bottom line is that we're in an enrollment decline that will nationally, that will essentially go off a cliff in 2025. And that has everything to do with the Great Recession in 2008 and the birth rate going down beginning 2025 and how colleges and universities are going to repurpose themselves for a smaller number of students coming into American colleges and universities. So this was a very amplified conversation in both higher ed and the mainstream media that only got had gasoline poured on it by the pandemic. And so we've been running really hard for a long time, wondering how we're going to position Monmouth University in a place of strength for the next 5 years, so we're ready for that sharper demographic decline in 2025. So in the middle of that planning, we had a global pandemic that is really shaking higher ed institutions to the core. You know, how some of the more financially volatile colleges and universities survive this pandemic is a legitimate question. And what these institutions are going to look like in 1 year is going to be a fascinating case study. I will say something that's come out of this pandemic when I try to keep my own spirits up and my group's spirits up. To me, the pandemic has actually, the silver lining for me is that it has affirmed the place of higher education as residential experiences. You know, 8 years ago, the hot topic was MOOCs, M-O-O-C-S, massive open online courses. These were courses that were going to be offered for free to the masses, and it was going to change the credentialing structure, and it was going to put residential universities across the country out of business. Guess what? The MOOCs failed. Then there's just been this conversation for 2 to 3 years about the unsustainable rise in the cost of higher education and the value of higher education. And for me, this really, really disconcerting movement away from a liberal arts foundation. You know, 7 years ago, what we were trying to do in American colleges and universities was get young people ready for one of the seven jobs they'll have in their lives through critical reading, writing, and thinking. And that narrative's completely changed recently to go to college, to select the right major, to get the right internship, to get the right job upon graduation. That critical thinking, reading, and writing has become secondary. So when I read articles that say 95% of American college students want to come back to campus, it says to me that we're not dinosaurs, that we're not going to be fossilized anytime soon, that there really is a place for residential American education in the future.
President Leahy, when you hear that and hear Vice President McCaig talk about not only the different challenges that exist in terms of recruitment and enrollment of students, but trying to continue to evolve, I think that's a theme that you and I have been on over the course of almost these 10 weeks, this being our 10th episode. So 2.5 months since we started Monmouth Weekly, of thinking how Monmouth can best be positioned to come out of this. I know a few episodes ago, you mentioned from a financial standpoint, Monmouth in really good shape because of the debt load that the school does not have in comparison with maybe some of the other schools that would be considered competitors in essence. But moving forward out of this, how does Monmouth in your eyes, and then I'll let Bob comment on this as well, how does Monmouth position itself to be even in a better position to attract more students going into this in a position of strength coming out of a pandemic in which things like finances and health and just the way that higher education is going to be run. How does Monmouth evolve out of this?
I mean, we have so much to offer that we've always felt like we have a competitive advantage against a lot of other peer institutions, Matt, and that will not change at all. I think there'll be a question that families might increasingly ask, which is, how viable are you as an institution? Can I count on, if I select Monmouth University, can I count on you being around? Can I count on you continually making the investments to enhance the student experience? And we can say absolutely yes, in a way that I'm not sure all other colleges and universities, even some around us, can say. We are, as I've said many times, much better financially sound than a lot of other institutions that I think are dealing with this same crisis. And remember, as Bob said, there was a crisis in American higher ed before the current crisis. To be in the northeast part of the United States, where the demographics are probably most moving against us in the entire country, it's also the most competitive market for higher education, I believe, in the entire world, probably, in that there's a greater concentration of really first-class institutions, you know, within 300 miles in any direction from the campus. And it's just a combination that is you don't need, I always say, you don't need an MBA in order to realize that there's going to be oversupply for shrinking demand. So we have to be as savvy as we can to weather this storm, this current public health crisis, to get through it in as strong a position as possible. And then I believe there are going to be individuals in the marketplace, there are going to be benefits to those institutions that survive this most strongly. We intend to be one of them. Now, we have to make good decisions over the course of the next year or two in order to ensure that. But remember, we're an institution that was founded in 1933 as a junior college in the throes of the Great Depression. I mean, we have seen challenges through the course of our history, and we've successfully navigated them, and we intend to do this again.
Vice President McKay, if you could follow up on that with having the university marketing efforts essentially fall under your realm, how does Monmouth market themselves coming out of this pandemic to not only be competitive, but I'll continue to say it. I think an opportunity to, as President Leahy and I said a couple of episodes ago, kind of get the idea that Monmouth is this hidden jewel on the radar screen of a much bigger audience.
Yeah, Matt, I think we were strong going into the pandemic. We were starting to hit our stride. There's such a thing, as I'm sure you know, is a phenomenon called reputation lag, that it doesn't take very long to lose a reputation, but it takes a long time to get one. And we've been a really good institution for a long time, and the market is just starting to understand that. And some of the Patrick Murray does this poll for us biannually, and you can see clear positive trend lines in folks around New Jersey, at least, understanding who we are and how academically strong we are. So we're buoyed a bit by that. We have a bunch more work to do for folks to understand how distinctive we are, the impactful opportunities that we offer, how we marry excellence and access in ways that very few institutions across the country marry them. So we have that strength going in, but I think it's equally important. I told folks this, my folks this at the beginning of the pandemic. I said, you got to look at this as a clean state. We will be judged by the decisions we make during this pandemic. And I think under President Leahy's leadership, we have made arguably among the most student-centered decisions in the country. find a moment in that every 36 hours of change where we made a decision, the decision to refund tuition, a room, board, and parking, the decision to get the checks out early, the decision to go online this summer, the decision for flexible grading for the summer. At almost every decision point, you can find a moment where student-centeredness ruled the decision. And I think we'll be able to point to that in our marketing efforts. In fact, we're going to do that on Thursday when we're talking to our offered students. And I think as I think some of our colleague institutions struggle in the coming years, I think we actually have an opportunity to get stronger.
President Leahy, let me ask you this, as we start to kind of wrap up this week of our episode in Monmouth Weekly, thinking now going forward for Monmouth, again, the idea of marketing, the idea of coming out of this in a position of strength. I think the thing that everyone is probably most concerned about with the idea that the summer has already been committed to in a fully remote situation is when do decisions get made for the fall? Because that will probably be, I would think, right, a pretty driving factor for students. Are they coming to Monmouth or are they going to take a gap year, or are they going to delay their enrollment for a year? So in all of those scenarios, I'm sure yourself, Vice President McCaig, the rest of the cabinet, the Board of Trustees, that's kind of the question that right now in the middle of May is still very up in the air, is as to will Monmouth be open normally come fall?
It'll make for a very busy summer. The goal at this point is to open as close to normal as possible and still ensure that the safety, health, and well-being of all of our constituents is our top priority. So we're, as Bob mentioned earlier, Matt, we're looking at all the different ways in which we can do that so that we can restore the vitality and the energy and the enthusiasm to this campus, which is so typical of the Monmouth University campus. I think you also know that I'm part of this campus restart committee here in the state of New Jersey. So I'm getting real-time information on the considerations that the state is contemplating, as well as what other colleges and universities are contemplating. So that will inform our decision. We want to offer as clarity as quickly as possible, but we want to do it in as measured a way as possible, like every decision we've made since basically March 1st. We wanted to have as much complete information as possible before making a decision that we think would be in the students' best interest. And how we're going to open in the fall is the latest decision that we have to make in that same manner. So my hope is sooner rather than later, but probably not until June, maybe early July, are we going to have some greater clarity around what the fall is going to look like.
Vice President McCaig, I want to thank you so much for coming on and giving us the information in this ever-changing world of not just the coronavirus, COVID situation, the pandemic, but just for you. Again, another hurdle in what's always been an extremely competitive situation anyway, trying to get and retain students at Monmouth to appreciate all the university has to give and has to offer. And I'm sure this will be just another one of those hurdles that you and your team will clear, and Monmouth will come out of this more successful than the school has been for as long as the school has been open.
Thanks, Matt, very much for including me today.
President Leahy, appreciate your time as well. I thought this was excellent information. You know, again, we've said all of these episodes are up for anyone to listen to. I think this one, from a student perspective, especially if you are among those who sit on that fence, as Vice President McCaig mentioned earlier, deciding whether or not you're going to come to Monmouth or not come to Monmouth, this would be the episode certainly for you to listen to and be involved with. And as you have continually said, if you have questions, make sure that you reach out and get in touch with somebody, including yourself at the university.
Including me at president@monmouth.edu. I promise we will get good information to people who write in. I'm so pleased again, Matt, to have this partnership with you so that we have a chance to talk through what's going on at our incredible institution. And I'm really pleased to have Bob on this week. He is a professional when it comes to enrollment matters in American higher education. And he and his team have just done remarkable work this spring. And I'm just so grateful to be a colleague.
Vice President McCaig, continued health and success for you and your family. We'll look forward to catching up and talking to you soon in the future and hopefully being able to do it in the much comfier confines of the WMCX studio.
Thanks again, Matt.
All right. For Vice President Bob McCaig, in charge of enrollment management, University President Patrick Leahy, I'm faculty member Matt Harmon. We thank you, as always, for giving us part of your day and time. You can find this episode on the Monmouth University website, monmouth.edu. Updated information for you there each and every day. Also on SoundCloud, on iTunes, on Google, on Spotify, any podcast platform, we are up and running. If you've got questions for us, feel free to email President Leahy. As he mentioned, you can email myself as well. We'll continue to roll through this and keep you updated with all Monmouth information. Again, thanks for listening to episode number 10. Looking forward to talking to you again next week.